Today is a very special episode for me. Welcome back to General Population People. So he's got a new album on Spotify called Sway. He's got a new EP called Just Be You. Just Be You. He's got a new music video called Plastic Island. He live streams on YouTube every Thursday, 4 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time, which is, I think, 6 p.m. my time and like 9 p.m. if you're in New York. Do the math. Fucking watch it. If you're on Instagram, he's at Tavana Official. Facebook, he's Tavana 808. One of my best friends, pretty much my brother, Mr. Tavana. How you doing, buddy?
Good. What's happening? Thanks for having me, Marco.
I'm very jealous of your beard. If I grew it out,
hey.
I've got this fucking cut here that won't go away, man. So it looks like a, I don't know. Dude, the grays are real. They're not just aliens. They're on my chin, man.
Oh, man. I know. I got some coming in, too. Man. A couple good.
Nah, dude. That's, oh, man. No. I've got fangs if I grow it up. Anyway, what you been up to aside from everything I told everyone to go look, demanding everyone to go look? What you doing, man?
Oh, you know, I'm just keeping busy. Keeping busy as I can. Got a lot going on. Like, got that live stream YouTube thing. Put out a few new projects, going back in the studio in the next couple of weeks to start on the next one. And
you like the Aloha shirt? I wore this specifically.
I love it. You look so good in it, man.
Man, is it Friday? It's not Friday. It is Friday. Is it fucking Friday?
It's Friday, dude.
What?
It's Aloha Friday.
That was on accident, dude. Hell yeah. I miss you, bro. It's been a while since we hung out. Let's start from the beginning. I was born. Anyway, you guys, you have no idea. We used to live at the Hilton Hawaiian Village, which is why I'm naming my metal band Kalia Road. So check that shit out. But yeah, me and this guy, dude, we met when we were like 12 and started a band when we were 13 called Tribe 13. I was his keyboardist. I wanted to be in the NBA, but he kept telling me, no, man, you're going to be a fucking musician and shit. I was wrong.
I was like, go from one pipe dream to another.
Yeah, best come on, let's idea. Just So yeah, well, how's the family before we get into your awesomeness?
Family's good. Two boys at home, Maverick and Max. They're getting older and older, eating
Maverick
more and more of my food.
Oh yeah, are they musical? Are they crazy? You know how weird we were when we were young, man. I'm surprised that we didn't get some hard time for that shit.
You know, I mean, these kids—they're into like similar as we were, like glued to the Super Nintendo. They're glued to like Minecraft and stuff like that. But they both have their different strengths and talents and everything. But they're both definitely musical.
Any one of them want to be a basketball player? Because Uncle Marco can talk some sense into them. Hey, no, you might want to be a musician too, man. Shit, dude. It's been fucking years, man. So, all right. Let's just dive right into it. By the way, Kobe is in the room. I got my little dog. I'm sure you've seen him.
Where is that little bugger?
He's an ankle biter, dude.
Oh, I know.
He thinks because he can't hear your volume. So he thinks I'm talking to him the whole damn time. So he's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's make it gratuitous. Cue in the bass. Boom. Love you too.
Oh, jeez. Just too cute.
Cut it out, you guys.
All right, man.
Oh, jeez. does he drink that much alcohol? And
yeah, no. I toned it down. I've been pretty cool, man. Like, no hard liquor. I'm overweight now, so I'm thinking I'm going to start. And this Aloha shirt reminds me. I've had this one for like 10 years. It used to be like kind of loose. I put it on. I'm like, wow, a wetsuit. Like, it's not the right kind of bird. It's like, boom.
Like, <"Burr." laughs>
It's like, oh, no, man. But all right, talk to me, man. Talk to me, Goose.
Like, other stuff, you know, I ended up expanding my horizon, started doing stand-up comedy a little bit.
What?
Started doing that like about 6 months ago.
Dude.
That's been a lot of fun.
You know,
I do that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, my first show was at the Comedy Store in Sunset. I didn't know about the red light or the amount of time I was supposed to get up there. So I didn't get to any fucking points. So I'm up there just, my whole family was there. Picture the whole setting, right? Michelle's got a camcorder and shit. And I'm up there just like, all right, you ever been on a cell phone jerking off with no Wi-Fi and you're sitting there and the thing gets stuck and you're all creamy and you don't know what the fuck to do? Dude, my family's going, oh my God, dude. The sick part is there are actual people who are just like, this is, I can't tell if it's brilliant or really, really pathetically sad. But then all of a sudden the lights come on and the music comes on and I never resolve the joke. So I'm up there just like, oh. Boy, it was that weird. Anyway, talk to me about that. You've been doing that? I didn't know that. We need to do a duet.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Unlike you, I've definitely told nobody the first few months.
No. You're not sure.
The last thing I wanted to see was a familiar face while I was working it out. But it's been going good. I've gotten a little better at it. I think I got my first featured spot. It'll be 20 minutes at the end of March. So that's kind of like, it's going to be pretty interesting getting that because all I've done is 7 minutes so far. So,
oh, you smell them.
So you smell them. So basically, in other words, I pretty much just diversified as much as possible. I ended up making music for a video game company for this new video game they were putting out. I got hired for that for like, I don't know, it was like a 7 week project that I got paid for doing that, which was amazing. I ended up doing like, you know, I did like 4 jingles for these different companies, got paid to make these commercial music. So basically,
that sounds fucking fun.
I basically had to like scratch out any musical work I could get, which I was lucky to do. And it kept me going. Like every time I thought I wasn't going to be able to pay my bills, opportunities would come up and I was able to make it through, which was phenomenal. And I've been, you know, a lot of times if I'm playing inside, there's a plexiglass thing in front of me. and like, so that's super strange, especially it was strange because I got into comedy with that happening. Right. So, you know, I'm learning how to tell jokes to an audience that I can't very much see.
I'm so happy
looking at a reflection of myself. And it's the same thing when I'm playing live music, you know, usually I like to like connect with the audience and I'm like looking at everyone and it makes it a little more difficult because there's a huge reflection. I'm basically staring at myself.
I just realized what you were saying, man. So you're fucking actually reflecting off of that.
Exactly.
The thing, the barricade. That's gotta be funny, man. Now every damn show I've done, dude, the lights have been so in my face that I can't really tell what's going on. You know what I mean? So it's like you're cracking jokes to like avoid. You know what I mean? Hoping for the best.
I guess that's kind of the same thing that's happening then. I've never gotten to try it without glass in front of me. So
are you serious? Maybe that's for the best.
Try it. I would like to try it where I could actually look at people, you know, and like comment on audiences, you know, and stuff like that. But you know, it's cool because what they did was they gave me a bunch of host spots. So no, I was able to go in.
It's your voice. Like
3 minutes up front and then introduce the guy and then do 3 minutes in between, 3 minutes in between. So I could try little pieces, you know. And then when they gave me my 7 minutes, I was able to squash that in and do the jokes that I found that worked in those small 3 minute slots and then do a complete 7 minutes that seemed to work, you know.
I'm mind blown right now, man.
I gotta stretch it to 20, which is gonna be very interesting. That's a long haul right there.
Dude, I've been taking notes over the last 2 years and I'm crazy. I think I'm officially nuts, but like I'm trying to put an hour together and I was gonna like rent out one of these like downtown fucking comedy halls to where it looks like you're on the half an hour special shits to where they got the balconies and all that crap that nobody would ever pay me to do. But like, so fuck it, you know, let's go do it anyway. So, but nah, man. And then all this fucking craziness happened with the COVID thing. Make no mistake, people. Yes, he's a comedian. I'm like stoked big time for the guy, but he's also a musician, like a damn good musician. So go look at everything.
Well, you know, the only reason I've been doing comedy, to be perfectly honest with you, was to push myself to get better at that part of my music show. Like I'm only doing this so that I can get better at telling stories to my audience while I'm playing music. I mean, I'm looking to up my game when I'm conversing with my audience, and it already has done that exponentially.
Have you ever considered pulling your hamster out?
Right.
Hello. Hi. How you doing?
Like,
oh, you smell him. Fucking terrible, man. So shit, I honestly, like, I'm shocked. Like, everything I wanted to talk to you about just got side fucking blinded by, like, or side blinded. No, I swear to God, I've got DDA. But fucking, yeah, blindsided, man. I didn't know you were into comedy.
I mean, honestly, you know, what I've found about myself is I'm better on the fly than I am at writing jokes. Like, and so what I need is, like, getting better at turning premises into jokes. You know, I have all these premises. I got all these ideas for stuff. Those stuff comes easy, but to be a jokesmith is a whole nother thing. So I'm just getting better at that. And I think I've finally been getting a little better at it recently, getting more laughs, better at timing, all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, I mean, I've only been at it for, like I said, like less than half a year. So it's kind of like, I'm pretty amazed that I'm getting 20-minute spots already. I mean, I'm stoked, you know.
I tell you what, man.
That's great to me. I'm happy with it. So I'm pretty sure they're only doing it because I have a name in music.
Yeah, well, you do have one.
He'll sell tickets. Just hey, let him do what he wants.
Atlanta. Come on. Hey, man, are you going to play the guitar? Yeah. I'm not going to say it, but, like, fucking, yeah, I love you too, man.
You're 2 weeks older than me. I'm just,
yeah,
well, you know,
yeah, so, hey, listen to your elders. So. No, but, like, he's got some of the funniest faces, so if I'm down in the dumps to this fucking day, Tavano, I'm not going to ask you to do the damn thing. You got too much hair on your face. I don't think it's going to work. He's got these silly-ass cheekbones, man. Every single time... Like, I mean, it's really foolproof. Like, he makes this face. I don't know. Go for it. See if you can do it. See me. Really? I don't even think it's politically correct to, like, bring that face in the. All right, you got it. Like, I'll be all sad. Like, fuck, dude. The beard is hiding so much of the lip movement shit.
Yeah.
No, I tell you what, that shit blows me away, man. It's just, we go way back, dude. So, all right. So we know you're a comedian. Right. Talk to me a little bit.
No, I'm really
about
not. First of all, I'm not a comedian. I'm learning how to be sort of a comedian, but I'm a musician, obviously, and that's what I do. So.
All right. Well, for the people around the world who might, like, all six of them tune into this shit. We're hoping for the best. Eh? Fucking up. Hey, it's better than four. Fucking talk about why you do have a name out in the islands. I couldn't be more proud of you. But, like, you know, what exactly, what did it take to get to the point to where Tavano, like, beyond Melodious Solutions and all the bands and our buddies and Guidance and everything like that? Because it seems like our little crew of, like, Hawaii Kai All-Stars kind of went for it big out there, man, between you, Keith, Ryan, and everybody, Mikey, and all that stuff. So, like, yeah, like, talk a little bit about the road work and the fucking dirt that you had to deal with.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's like endless years of playing in, you know, bars that are like in Star Wars bars, you know, like, just me and, like, the bartender and, like, some one-eyed frog in the corner. Yeah. And there's like, what?
Hey, don't talk like that about, like, your girl, man. Oh, too soon.
Hey. Oh, hey. I'm just
kidding. You know? Dude, I just kidding. Well, hey, by the way, you're dead now. No, fuck. No, I'm just saying it's tough out there because it's not like people are getting paid a lot and, like, fuck, like, I mean, you started really going for it. I mean, it's been 20 years at least. Yeah, fucking.
It's been a long time. I mean, I did a lot of many, many, many years of playing in bars and just doing the same old thing, you know. But I think when things started to change was, you know, I remember sitting there and I'm like, you know, I don't know, 10, 12 years in, something like that. And I'm sitting there, I'm playing the same set every night. And I'm like, I was just like playing the same old thing. And I was like noticing, I was like zoning out on like the bar TV that was up there and not even thinking about the song I was playing. And I remember
watching
thinking,
a like, Shake oh, Weight commercial and shit.
Like, oh man, this is, yeah. And I remember thinking like, oh man, this isn't it. You know what I mean? And then I kind of went through this thing because I got injured. Like I cut my finger. And then I got surgery and then the doctor was like, okay, you can't do this for like 3 months. And I was like, wait, what? I do this every night, like right. All the time. That's how I pay my rent. And they're like, well, unless you never want to play again, you can't do that. So I ended up like getting a slide guitar because then I could keep my thumb straight and just play it on my lap.
Is that what happened? I got so many questions. This guy was like my introduction to Eddie Van Halen. I'm sorry, dude. Go ahead. Like, yeah, because I really have questions for you.
Basically, and so basically I did that and it was like, you know, I kept my gigs. But what I noticed was, you know, I started to like feel like I was learning something again. I was like, oh, and so what I started to do, and then another thing happened where I like lost my loop pedal and I ended up using a kick drum instead. And that was another thing that happened where, again, my interest level went up a notch and I had to, because I was doing something new, I had to pay attention to every song because I was doing something somewhat new, you know, and that way I was not zoning out on the TV again, bored out of my mind. I was like really paying attention because I'm like learning how to play the slide. I'm learning how to play drums with my feet, you know? So I kept that basically going from that point on where I would incorporate like new things into my set. And through that, what that allowed me to do was consistently be in the state of learning and being interested and being excited. And I think that my audience kind of took that journey with me. And all of a sudden there were more and more people in there. They kept wondering what I was going to do next, bringing in the banjo, the ukulele, all that stuff started happening. And I think that energy started to really just take my show to another level. And the audiences wanted to come along for that ride because they watched me take risks on stage, you know, play songs that I just wrote, you know, earlier that day, I would bust them out, you know, and everybody like, oh shit. You know, so it was just, I think in terms of the original question you asked me, like how did that happen? I think that was the catalyst, the me discovering that being in that state of curiosity and constantly learning and letting my audience see that while I'm performing was the thing that changed everything from me being some bar musician doing covers and just in a corner to being somebody who's performing for people. And it became to where now my shows are all ticketed shows. You know what I mean? And that's what I've always wanted.
And they're apparently getting sold out these days, right? Like, fuck, I saw
oftentimes, some... oftentimes
man,
they
this
do.
This guy over here. So, like I was saying earlier, right? So, he was sort of my introduction to Eddie Van Halen. He went from like Stevie, I remember like big time Eric Clapton, Stevie Ray Vaughan vibes back in the day. And all of a sudden, like, he's playing Eruption. He's like fucking 15. And I'm just like, what the hell's going on? So like, if you really want to play tick for tack, aside from my aunt, man, this guy is like my biggest electric guitar influence ever, which is ironic because you don't play too much of it these days. I've been watching you, dude. And like all the old school crazy, like, it's a show. And that's kind of what's funny, man, is like, you're sitting here saying, yeah, I started getting distracted. Well, yeah, if you play six instruments at the same fucking time, you're gonna be focusing on what you're doing. So but like, he really does, he's like that, like Bob Dylan and then some guy over in the islands and shit, which blows my mind, dude. It really does. But do you plan on revisiting some of that electric and some of that crazy intensity?
Well, I've been doing electric shows again for about a year now, and I do full band electric shows where I get to stand up and play, you know, a lot of my, like, you know, Hendrix-y kind of like shredding.
Holy shit, dude, you're phrasing. God.
I don't really go for the Eddie stuff as much anymore. That was definitely fun, and I have fond memories of that kind of stuff, but I guess my taste for music has gotten really into this like idea of just like really just I like to slow things down a little more now, you know. I love solos from like Gilmore and like, you know what I mean, just really thoughtful, great tone and yada yada yada. So but it has been fun though to do my Stevie Ray and do my Hendrix-y thing again, playing with a full band and being able to pick up an electric and take a solo, you know.
Do you still have all those same guitars? Do you still have all those same heat? All right, like, I don't know if you guys remember Parker Lewis, Can't Lose, you know where I'm going with this. But there, he had a teacher. I forget his name, man. What was his name? Do you remember it?
Greg
or some shit. I'm seeing a Greg. It was like 1996, 97, when me and this guy, we started a band called Frivolous Critters. Rest in peace. It was bad. We were funky, dude. But anyway, this guy was playing on this Greg guy was playing on the guitar that he did all the Parker Lewis Can't Lose. I'm so dating us right now, man. Like, kids are going,
nobody
like,
remembers
what
that show, dude.
All right, anyway, fuck it, man. The guy was good. And the guitar was red. I'm wondering if you still have it because I want it.
No, I think that guitar was taken out of my garage along with my very first guitar when I was living up in Mariners Ridge. Some tweakers came in and took it right out of the garage while we were having dinner.
Fucking tweakers.
You know, what are you going to do?
Well, how did you go through it, man? Did you go to any schools? Did you take any actual real lessons? Did you actually fucking study? Or did you just know that your blood reeks of music?
You know, I took lessons when I was I started guitar when I was like 12 and then got my first guitar my 13th birthday. And I played alone, basically doing my own thing for many, many years until I was probably like, I don't know, 3-4 years until I was like 16 or 17, started getting lessons for like a little while up at Hot Lakes with like Greg and Chris and those guys. And then I went over to LA, you know, and I did, you know, the Guitar Institute, GIT, Musicians Institute.
Did you graduate at all? I only went there for a certain amount of time.
I did the year and got my certificate in the guitar program. And I did the 6 months of the Recording Institute and I got that.
My God, weird memory. My cousin and I, Gerber Shell Raston, I call him Gerbs because he's my baby brother-ish. So, but you recorded us, right? We went in there and did a song we used to have called Alienated. And I wasn't even in school yet. And we were like your fucking project or something.
Man,
see, I forget all this crap. Then I look at his beard and I'm going like, wow, it's like full of memories. Even though he never had it. Pick a memory right out of your chin right there, man.
I remember
that. So how many actual instruments do you use like at one time?
Well, I mean, you know, like on stage, I'll have behind me, I'll have my Weisenborn lap steel acoustic guitar. Well, a couple acoustic guitars, ukulele, a banjo, and then sometimes my electric. And then I have my, you know, I'll either be playing my electric drum kit, foot kit with six drum triggers. Or I'll be doing my more rootsy kind of set where it's a kick drum and a tambourine and chimes, where it's like real, real percussion. Oh, I've been doing that kind of a lot more lately, just for ease of transport and everything else. But yeah, it's pretty much what I do. I mean, I don't do the like, this is hanging off my back and this is like, you know, and I'm just like,
but it's almost like that, man. I mean, it's pretty intense, dude. And do you have that loop thing back? I mean, do you still utilize that thing? Because
everything I do is live now. I don't do any looping. So I just like that better. You know, I never really did jive with the looping, honestly. Like it's even if you do it really well, it's like, it just kind of feels funny to me. Yeah. Like it's sort of sterile once you set up the loop. You know, it's like, oh, great. You know, that's going. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's sort of run its course. And I feel like being live with something, it really has a particular energy when you're playing it right there for people, as opposed to, you know, even if you just set up the loop, it's still there. And people are like, yeah, okay, that's there. And it goes into this compartment in their mind where now it's not like hitting their heart every time it makes noise. It's like forgotten. And now they're paying attention to this thing. And it just, I don't know. Like,
no, you're describing
it
correctly.
That when I play the instruments live for people, that whole thing is gone with that what I just explained. But also, I'm able to like speed up and slow down and stop or decide on the fucking spot that I want to do this different tonight and just do it different right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anytime I want. When you're doing a loop thing, you sort of have to map everything out and do it somewhat the same way every time.
But do you have any plans on coming out here and doing some little rock and monster touring and really
luckily one of the cool things that happened during COVID was I landed a spot with a booking agency. So now I have a booking agency that is looking to put me on like actual tours, which is amazing. It just sucks that it happened right when COVID hit.
Oh, dude.
So they're like, oh, well, you normally we'd be putting you out immediately, but we got to wait. But they've been in contact with me. They're looking at putting me this summer out in like Salt Lake, possibly in some of the other southern states, possibly. So we're just kind of talking about that right now, and I assume that I will be there. That's a big stop, so I'm assuming that I will be there, you know, whenever anybody else is there.
Are you gonna be doing comedy in your actual, like, do you, like, because there's a lot of comedians out there, and I've been contemplating on this shit also, to like bring out a guitar and stuff in your set to where it's not a musical set, it's full-blown ridiculous comedy,
right?
But like,
right,
you incorporate all that bullshit into it.
I've been totally working on that, and I've got stuff for it already. The reason I've been lagging on is because I didn't want to like go out and rely on that immediately. I wanted to learn how to be more of a comic before I, because I mean, obviously I can go up there and make ridiculous songs.
Dude, you're one of the funniest people I've ever met. Like, I shit you not. You're all serious. Listen, don't let this serious professional man with a beard confuse you. He's one of the funniest fucking people I know, like ever. I mean, he's like a brother to
boy.
Me. So yeah, no, I mean, fucking put the, look, he's blushing, guys. He's blushing. So yeah, man, I would love to see you incorporate some of that shit. But like, as far as the music, dude, I'm always going to be a fan, man. You got anything in works for another album, or are you just going to be chilling on this one for a minute?
No, I mean, you know, I've got like 20 unrecorded songs already, and I'm, you know, I'm always ready to go back in the studio. So right now we're kind of just like contemplating on if we're going to go into the same producer, or we want to try somebody new, or both. We might do both, where we use two different producers and work on two separate projects at the same time. So me and my management company has been like discussing the next moves, but it's looking like the next few things are going to happen is me getting into the studio for another full album. And then also as soon as we can get on the road, which is going to happen within the next 6 months, I would say I'll be out and touring again. Mike Love's already out there touring again.
Yeah, so I've been noticing.
It's kind of coming back a little bit. You know, it's not going to be full blown. It'll be short little tours. You know, I'll be gone for like a week and just go do this place, go do that place, come back. But, you know, I'm willing to take what I can right now, and I'm looking forward to it. More than likely, it'll be me going along with some bigger band or something and opening for them.
You ever want to jam with a metal band?
You know, oh yeah.
I'm fucking serious. Hey, this guy, when we were, I think we were a senior. Me and him were still in Frivolous Critters with the, I played keyboards, he played the funky jams. But we went to a house party with friends of ours named Incision. Remember that night?
Oh, yeah.
It was Keone and a bunch of other guys. So I don't know if you're watching. But he came up with the best fucking death metal band name ever. And like, I tried to revisit it like 2 years ago, called Lucifix. Man, you remember that shit? He was like, I know we're not a band, like, but if we were a death metal band, bro, Lucifix. It's like, what? There's actually a band called Lucifix now. How fucking nutty is that?
Oh, well, you know.
So as far as naming your shit, did you ever, because I know, like, I had a lot of issues with this, because almost everything is taken, you know, like Deep Space Nightlight, you know, like We Shit Liquid, which I still think is epic, dude. We Shit Liquid. Fucking, but like, yeah, so you just sticking to your name, or are you trying to name projects for what it is?
Oh, yeah, I mean, luckily I don't have to worry about it as a solo artist. I can just go with my name and it's good. You know, it's always fun naming albums and songs or whatever still, but yeah, it's not as hard as it used to be, I don't think. I don't put as much, I think I used like a little too much perfectionist back in the day, or now, even with songwriting. You know, even though to me, my songs are better than they ever were, I'm spending way less time writing them because I'm not. And I think that that's kind of key to songwriting, is to not like overthink shit and to really allow yourself to just be like, okay, well, that's good enough. And then I'm going to come back to this, and then allow yourself to go out and perform that. And then, you know, it'll kind of come together a little better as you discover little things that you want to fix throughout it. But if you sit there and you're like, no, this has to be perfect for so long, I've noticed that the song just ends up being real sterile and kind of like there's nothing really to it anymore, you know?
Is that not that's like the cruelest joke on a songwriter and a musician. When you're younger, you want to make it perfect. You sit there and dissect the shit. When you get older, you know, not saying we're too old, but we're, you know, like I said, the grays, man. Not just aliens.
Hey.
No, but you end up a little more jaded and a little bit like more like fucking loose about shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're going to sit there for 38 fucking days to try to like get that. And I'm terrible, but it actually, you get better music. You get better results. Like when you loosen up and just let it flow, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm actually glad you made that point, dude. Cause that's serious. Kind of like your beard. When you just loosen up and let it flow, it stays dark for a lot longer. Here's me, grow, motherfucker. And it just turns gray. Motherfucking goddammit.
Hey, we work hard for these grays, man.
I know. Yeah. Well, fuck, dude. I tell you what. Then, like, explain the grays on my nuts because I ain't got laid in a while. Oh!
I'm still waiting for grays on my nuts. I don't know.
No, I really don't. I can honestly say that was just stupid. But, fucking, dude, I know you got to go pick up your kids because you're a very amazing father. I don't have kids of my own. Long story. But my buddy over here, dude, we always used to talk about it. Like, man, our kids are going to grow up together. I don't know if Maverick or Max want Kobe around very often because he usually chews up the fucking couch and pees on the bed. So, you know, bad influence. But as far as your kids are concerned, I know there are a lot of fathers and mothers and stuff out there. What's the lesson you basically want to teach them? And I know this sounds insane, right? Like, fucking, don't do drugs and do your homework. But, like, on a real level, like, you're a great guy, man. You know what I mean? And you can't just take your brain and put it in theirs. So being that you're a hardworking man and you're so creative and going through, I'm sure we all go through relationship problems, dude. I've been there a million times, but I don't have kids. Whoop, yeah. You know, like, if this was Kobe Bryant's last speech, you know what I mean? Like, how you want to Tavana the fuck out the fatherhood thing?
I mean, for me, I find that, you know, okay, because you have these little minds and they come into the world and they're like these little blank slates, and they all of a sudden they're just kind of experiencing things and they get these traumas and it just kind of forms into the people that they are. And as much as we like to think as parents that, like, hey, you know, we're gonna like build this being, like, that's nearly not the job. The job is to keep them safe and to be supportive and be close and loving with them and be one of the closest people in their lives that they can always count on. But that's your job is not to like make them who they are. And it's like your job to like mold them and force them into being this great thing. It's like, no, like they have the right to grow up and learn and be an experience and become who they become without you forcing it on them, you know? So my big goal as a parent, honestly, is just quality time and like laughing together and just cracking up and like being really, really close and giving a lot of love to each other and just having the greatest moments and the greatest times, because, man, this stuff goes by so fast and it's truly the best ever, you know, that you can really ever have. And so my big goal is to just keep having these great moments with my kids as much as I can, all the way until they're older, you know, and just be really close to them. You know what I mean?
You see this? You're tearing me up for real.
Oh,
but
man.
You're not.
It's true, though.
It's surreal that you're that guy now, man. Like, fuck. I feel like I never grew up. I just have a lot more responsibilities now.
Yes.
Like, on a real level. But to hear you say all that shit, bro, we were just kids like yesterday, man, on a real fucking level, dude. So. Yeah. Man, Max, Maverick, you got yourself a good dad.
Hey,
man, I wanna talk to you a lot more, dude, but I actually have to get running, and I know you got to pick up some kids. You're going to be on this show quite a bit, people.
I had a blast, dude.
We're going to have a good time with Tavana McMoore. I'm gonna say all this shit again, man. I wrote it down for you. So, okay, again, new album called Sway on Spotify. He's got an EP called Just Be You, a new music video called Plastic Island. Live streaming on YouTube every Thursday, 4 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 6 p.m. here in L.A. And if you're in Detroit or New York, Chicago, it's 9 p.m., I believe. And fucking, you can find him on Instagram at Tavana Official. You can also check him out on Facebook, Tavana 808. And I think he's got nude pics on just joking. gotta kill it at the end there, dude. You know I love you, man. We're gonna be doing this a lot.
I love you too.
So you got a home here in general population.
Awesome,
you guys, man. Tune in next time, man. Who knows who we're fucking talking to? I never write a schedule down. Love you, dude.
Love you, man.
Rock and roll, my friend.
Aloha.